For you who are our guests, we are in a series of messages on spiritual gifts, and we are dealing with the motivational gifts, and we are on the fifth of these gifts, on the motivational gift of giving. And this is an exciting gift, and let me say in the very beginning, we're not talking about a gift that is limited to people with large sums of money. The gift of giving is not limited to that, but rather to all of God's people to whom God has given this very special gift. And so if you'll turn to Romans chapter 12, and let's recall these verses that we have read continuously throughout this series. He says in verse 6 of Romans 12, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us," that is, by God's grace, He's given this gift to one, this to another, "let each exercise them accordingly, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." All seven gifts are seven different drives that motivate people to do what they do. And today I want us to look at this matter of the gift, or rather the motivation here, of giving. Now, if you recall, we've said there are apostles and servants of the Lord in the Bible who best exemplify this. And we said, for example, the apostle who best exemplifies the gift of prophecy is whom? Peter. All right, let's say it loudly so I can hear now. The gift of service, Timothy. The gift of teaching, Luke. The gift of exhortation, Paul. And the gift of giving, if you were not here at the first service, who would you say best exemplifies the gift of giving? Who? Matthew is the one. And there are several reasons for that. One of them is that he has more to say about it than any other apostle does. He includes more wise counsel on giving than any of the other writers. He's the only one who talks about giving secretly. And he also is the one who says so much about the misuse of finances and being a poor steward. Matthew was, what was his vocation? Tax collector, so he knew all about money, didn't he? Now, at first, before he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew the wrong things about it. Then God began to work in his life. Matthew is also the one who gives us details about the gifts brought to Jesus. He's the one who also tells us what the Pharisees did with the 30 pieces of silver that came back from Judas. And so if you look at if you look at the writing of Matthew's gospel, you'll find that he's the one, for example, that records Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees for not taking care financially of their parents. So if you look at that gospel, you'll see how many references there are to money, finances, and the stewardship of our money. Now, with that in mind, let's look at the characteristics of a person with a gift of giving. And let me say in the very beginning, you do not have to be wealthy to have this gift. You can have a very little and have this motivational gift of giving. That is, when you're walking in the Spirit, you want to give. You live to give. You can't give enough, and that giving spirit affects your entire life. A person may have a large sum to give or large resources from which to give from. Another person may have smaller resources, but likewise have the spiritual gift of giving and likewise the giving. So don't begin in the very beginning here and say, well, you're just talking about people with large sums of money. The gift of giving, if you'll notice, like all these, are giving according to the grace of God. And that is, God gives them according to whom He chooses, not according to who chooses to have it. All right, number one. A keen ability, and if you'll follow in your bulletin, we put these in the bulletin so you could follow right along if you are a guest. A keen ability to make wise purchases and investments in order to have money available to give away. Now listen, watch this. Here's a beautiful example of what I'm talking about. Most any one of us who's wise will want to make a wise investment, or we'll want to save money on the purchase. Why? So we'll have more. That is, we don't want to make an unwise investment. The personal gift of giving, he looks at it this way. He wants to save money and invest wisely in order to do what? That what he saves, he'll have to give. The other gift would say, well, I want to save it because it's wisely. I'll have more money to spend on other things. The personal gift of giving says, I'll have more money to give away. because he lives to give. She lives to give, and so the personal gift of giving here wants to be wise, and therefore they're looking ahead. They're able to visualize. They've got a good vision of what's going on, and so always very careful about how they spend their money because they want more to give, and therefore to do that, they must be wise in the handling of their money. Number two, a desire to give quietly to effective projects or ministries without public notice. Now listen, if you see somebody running around saying, I want to give so-and-so, count on me. For example, and we don't do this and would not do it, but if we said this morning, we need $200,000 and who'd like to be the first one to stand up to give $5,000? Well, if some fellow jumped up and said, Pastor, count on me, I want to give $10,000. Well, everybody else in here may clap, but the person with the gift of giving would be grieved in his heart because the person with the gift of giving may want to give $50,000, but they would never tell it. They want to give theirs quietly because you see, listen, they're not motivated by applause and prominence. They are motivated what? They're motivated with the gift to give. That is, they love to give, and so they live to give. And so as they give and they see God working through their gift, they have all the contentment and all the satisfaction they need. Now, if that person gets in the flesh, they may want to waive it. But you see, a person with the gift of giving is not looking for public approval. And so what do? They give quietly, quietly without public notice because their motivation is not applause and praise. Their motivation is that they just want to see the Lord's work produced. All right, number three, an enjoyment in meeting needs without the pressure of appeals. Now listen, here's the kind of man or woman, the person with the gift of giving, they love to give. But when they get a telegram in the mail or something in the mail that says, if you don't send me so much money today, here's what's going to happen. They want to close it up and lay it aside. Or if they feel tremendous pressure, for example, whether it's from a pastor or anybody else, we've got to have this money today. You've got to give today. Now, who's going to give us $1,000? Who's going to give us $5,000? That turns them off. Because you see, they want to give, but they want to give, listen, motivated. The person with the gift of giving is motivated from within by God to give, not from outward pressure. The person with the gift of giving is turned off by hard pressure tactics to give or the attitude, if we don't give it at this particular time, at this moment, this ministry is going to fall apart, or I'm going to have this problem, or you're going to have that problem. No, they are motivated by giving, but not high pressure tactics. That turns them off because you see, it's their life to give. And so they don't need that. A personal gift of giving doesn't need pressure. They need information. They need direction. They need know-how and why and time to wisely give it the way they believe God wants them to give that money. Now, number four, a desire to use his or her giving as a way to motivate others to give. Now, listen, here's the reason for that. A person with the gift of giving may know that many other people around them may not have, not enough, but as much to give as they have to give. And they may know that some people have far, far, far less to give. But one of the things that motivates the person with the gift of giving is to give is this. By their giving, they believe that they will be able to motivate other people to give because, you see, they have the vision of seeing what can be accomplished. They have the vision of seeing the possibility. They are able to see the end result. And so what do? Seeing the end result if people give and seeing what can be accomplished and desiring to give themselves and living to give and desiring to be a part of what God's up to, desiring to see God's program move, what they do oftentimes, they want to at least motivate other people to give because you see, not only do they want to see the big picture completed, but the personal gift of giving knows the value of getting into the cycle. As we give, we receive, and as we give, we receive, and as we give, we receive, and as we give, we receive. That person knows that anybody and everybody can get in on the cycle. Now, they won't all be to the same degree, and God's not going to use everybody financially the same, but here's the one thing about the gift of giving. The personal gift of giving understands, gets the picture, and by giving themselves, believes that their giving will motivate and encourage other people to give. The same principles that work in the life of the person who has the motivational gift of giving will work in anybody's life. And oftentimes, the person with the gift of giving, they just seem to have more joy and expect less in return oftentimes because, you see, their contentment and fulfillment is in the fact that they were able to give. That person lives to give. That's the whole motivation of their life. Now, it isn't just limited to money, let me say, because a person with the gift of giving won't just give money. They will give of their time or whatever else is necessary in order to accomplish that task. All right, number five, an ability to see financial needs that other people tend to overlook. For example, the teacher may walk right by this one, the person with the gift of prophecy, or the person with the gift of exhortation, but a person with a gift of giving, it's like their antennas are always out. They are seeking ways and means of being used by God by giving. For example, let's say that you had a small group of people who were discussing someone else's need, and you've got a prophet there, and the teacher, and the exhorter, and you have the gift of service, and so someone says, well, here's a need I just heard about. Well, the person with the gift of service is thinking, well, how can I go then help them get that done? Or the person with the gift of teaching says, well, now, I need to get the truth to them about how this situation arose to begin with. The person with the gift of prophecy says, if they'd have known what they're doing, they wouldn't have gotten in that mess to begin with. And the person with the gift of exhortation is thinking about the steps to help them out of this. The person with the gift of giving's mind's already calculating how much it'll take to help them at this particular time. When can they get the amount to them? How much can they trust them with? Will this be enough to help them get through this particular situation? You see, we're all motivated differently. Now, the end result is this person or situation is going to be solved, but God uses different motivations in different people to do it, because if everybody just wants to give them money, that may not be their most crucial need, though it may be a part of a need. So the person with the gift of giving has their antennas out. Not only that, an ability to test faithfulness and wisdom by how people handle funds. Now watch this. You who are listening and watching, listen. A person with a gift of giving, they have an ability to test the faithfulness and wisdom of others by how they handle funds. All right, I'm going to go back to what I was just referring to. And if you'll look, if you will, in Luke chapter 16 for a moment. And this is the chapter in the Bible that most people know about the story of a rich man going to hell. But listen, that's not the most important necessary thing in this passage. But in this particular passage, Jesus made a statement that every believer needs to comprehend and understand and apply to their own spiritual life. Listen to what he said. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous in much. Now watch this. Therefore, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, that's money. It's what we're talking about. An inanimate object used for bartering or for trading. That is, it is merely a medium of exchange. He says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? Listen, the richest of riches is not money. The richest of riches is great spiritual truth. Understanding who God is, understanding the ways of God, understanding God's purpose and plan, getting in on His big picture, seeing the will of God for your life, watching God do the miraculous in your life. That is the richest of the riches. And God is saying, look, why should I entrust to you the greater riches, the great riches of spiritual truth? Why should you be entrusted with that which man cannot concoct, which man cannot generate, which man cannot manufacture? Why should I entrust into your hands the great spiritual truth if you do not know how to handle those things that are mundane and that man can himself manipulate? So there is a direct relationship between my understanding of the Word of God, my trustworthy before Almighty God of deep spiritual truths, and the way I handle money, whether it's a $20 bill, a $10 bill, or a $1,000 bill. Because we're to be good stewards of everything that God's given us. The person with the gift of giving who understands that principle, my friend, they have the privilege and the avenue and the possibility of God opening vast doors of tremendous wealth. Because the person lives to give. Give it to the ministry of God. Give it to the work of God. Give it to those who are in need. You see, money is not bad. And there's not anybody that I know of that really and truly thinks it's bad. If they do, why don't they give their paycheck back? I don't see any of that happening. The Bible does not say it's a sin to be rich or to be wealthy. It says it is a responsible position. And the person who has been entrusted with large sums has been entrusted by Almighty God with a great and awesome responsibility to be a good steward. And he says here, there is a relationship, but the way we handle the mundane things if we want to handle the deeper things of God. All right? Notice, if you will, in number 7. This person has a tendency to practice personal frugality and has an ability to be content with the basic necessities of life. Now watch this. Friend, a person with a gift of giving, you can't look at them until they have that. Because sometimes and oftentimes a person with a gift of giving may have large resources. They live very unpretentious. They don't intend to be pretentious at all. They don't have to do that. And sometimes they want a bare minimum of necessity. What they have may be very, very fine. It may be the finest. Just don't have a lot of it. Don't want a lot of it. Don't need a lot of it. And a satisfied, very frugal, wise investors, wise spenders, don't have to be surrounded with multitudes of things. Their life isn't necessarily complicated. And you see, whereas someone else, if they had access to the same amount of wealth, their life would be full of things. And before long, God would get lost in the things. The person who has the gift of giving, you see, the reason they don't have to have that is because their motivation, listen, their motivation isn't great wealth in order to accumulate and extend their resources. Their motivation for accumulation is what? Is accumulating only long enough to give it away. They want God to accumulate wealth for them, to give it away. And you see, somebody else may say, well, I want vast, large sums of money. And I hear people say this. And once in a while, I hear college students say, well, no, I've decided God isn't calling me to preach. He's calling me to be a businessman, successful, make large sums of money to give it to God. Friend, don't fool yourself. That may be what God does, but if God's called you to preach and you've decided you're not going to do that, you go into the business world and make large sums of money as a substitute for obeying God, I'm going to tell you, you are not going to make it. And if you do, you'll be sorry you did. And secondly, you won't be able to enjoy one dime of it. You can't substitute money for obeying God. The person with the gift of giving, they don't have that problem. They're not trying to accumulate. What they want to do, they want to get themselves in a position to be what? Just to be the hub around which God is doing what? Revolving large sums of money into the work of God in order that God may be glorified, the work may go on, and they see themselves as simply a hub around which God's great wealth flows. They're not trying to grasp it. They simply want to be an avenue of what? Of the outpouring of God's wealth, because they're motivated what? They live to give, not to accumulate. All right, listen, if you will. And number 8, a joy when his gift is an answer to specific prayer. Now listen, when a person with a gift of giving, it may be a little bit. It may be something not worth more than $50 or $100, or it may be something worth in the thousands, but the person with a gift of giving senses great gratitude when they know that they have become the tool by which God has answered your prayer. And you see, because they live to give, they rejoice in the fact that their gift to you was an answer to your prayer. Because you see, that just gives them extra added assurance that God is in on this. That, listen, that they read God right. They heard what he said. When they picked up on the sensitivity of a need, they asked the Lord to give them direction. They did what God said. And then you come back to say, I want you to know, here was the need in my life, and your gift, your coming through at this particular time was a tremendous answer to my prayer and that of my family. We were in desperate need, trying to get my kids through college, or this situation happened in my home, or this happened in my life, this hospital bill. I want you to know it really took pressure off us, and it was a true answer to prayer. That's all, my friend, the person the gift of giving needs. What it says to them is, Lord, I read. You see, listen, the person the gift of giving isn't rejoicing over compliments and appreciation. The person of gift of giving is saying, Lord, thank you, I read you right. I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you that I read you right. And I want to be so sensitive that every time you tell me to do something, I want to be right on target with exactly what you say, when you say do it, the way you say do it. You see, that's what rejoices the heart of the person, the gift of giving. Listen, not only that, number nine, a dependency on the partner's counsel to confirm the amount of the gift. That is, a person, for example, let's say here two believers, and God has given them a little or a great amount, and they want to make a gift to a person or to a ministry, whatever it might be. And so what are they going to do? The man or the woman, the husband or the wife, may have a certain feeling toward a particular gift. If they're wise, they're going to counsel each other. They're going to listen to each other's counsel. As they listen to the Lord and they want to do what God wants them to do, sometime one may say, I have a check in my spirit about that. Then the other one needs to stop to say, well, let's just ask the Lord to give us direction and let's don't do anything until we get oneness of mind and heart. Listen, God isn't going to tell a husband to give something and not tell the wife or vice versa. If those two people are listening to the Lord and walking in fellowship with Him, God's going to show them both. Now, they may not both see it at the same time. Doesn't mean one's right or wrong. It just means that one, that if God has dealt with one more than the other in that particular area, God will bring them into oneness of mind and heart. You see, the person with the gift of giving has vision. They are very wise in their investments, and so they're not just going to up and do this and up and do that recklessly, but rather seeking counsel when that counsel is necessary, and especially in the family of husbands and wives before a big investment is made. Then number 10, a concern that his or her gift be of high quality. Now listen to me. The person with the gift of giving, listen, they do not give for the applause or for the prominence or the recognition of having given. That's not why they give. Therefore, when they give an expensive or a valuable gift, it may not have to be expensive necessarily financially, but it's valuable to that person. When they give that, listen, they are motivated because what? They love to give. And so what they're going to give motivated by their love for that person and motivated what? By their desire to give, and they always want to give something that represents what? Represents that the intensity of their desire to do what? To be a good steward before the Lord in what they're doing. Now, sometimes that gift may be very expensive. Sometimes it may not be so expensive, but here's what the gift of giving does. The gift of giving usually gives, and with that gift comes in his or her mind and heart that represents the person. Now, somebody else may give the same gift, and they really enjoy the thank you, how much I appreciate that. That's what they need. The person, the gift of giving, that's not what they need at all. They just want to express to that person, here is how I feel and the value of the gift. One of the missionaries tells the story of a little lad, who was a school teacher, tells the story of a little lad who had brought her a beautiful rare shell, only found on one part of the beach in one of the beaches in that nation. And the teacher who had taught that little boy all year long knew how far away that beach was and knew how long it would take to go then come back. So when he presented the teacher with this beautiful shell, gorgeous, unique, very, very hard to find, very rare present, she said to him in accepting the gift, she said, calling him by name, she said, but you had to walk so far. You had to walk miles, and it took days, and I don't deserve this. And with a big old smile on his face, he looked up into her eyes and he said, but teacher, the walk was part of the gift. That little boy knew how to give. You see, every single step he took, that was part of the gift. Now, the teacher saw the shell, but in his mind, he didn't just give her a rare shell that he hunted till he found. It was every step he took, every mile of the way, all the way there, the time he spent searching, the time it took for him to come back, presenting her the gift. You see, the person with the gift of giving, when they give, it represents them. It's something within them. It is a gift worthy of their love and of their caring. And so you see, sometimes those of us who receive need to be reminded that when someone gives us something and they give it as a person who has the gift of giving, it is it is the walk that is part of the gift. Listen, it was their labor to make the money that they spent to put into that gift that's part of the gift. And you and I who receive, all of us who receive, and all of us are receiving at times, we need to recognize what is behind every single gift, lest we prove to become very, very ungrateful. Now, if you'll notice the last one, number 11, a desire to feel a part of the work of the person to whom he or she gives. Now, listen, the person with the gift of giving, they want to feel like they are a part of what they're giving to, because you see, the person with the gift of giving feels like all of us should, and that's what? That is that we are a part of the gift. So when we give a gift, we're giving a part of what? Giving a part of ourselves. So the person with the gift of giving doesn't usually just send the gift and forget it. It isn't that they want to control or dominate. That's not it at all. But rather, they give and want to be a part, because you see, they're giving in obedience to God. And they love to give, and they want to see God accomplish His purpose. They want to see God's big picture fulfilled. And so they want to be a part of the ministry, a part of the person's life, a part of what God is doing with them and within them. And so they must sense a part, a feeling of being a part of the giving process. All right, now, that person, as generous and as fine and as wonderful as they are, sometimes can be highly misunderstood. Look at this first misunderstanding. The need to deal with large sums of money may appear to be a focus on temporal values. Listen, my friend, every single one of us has a vocation of some sort, whether it's a mother or a businessman or whatever it might be. Listen, the truth is that whatever your vocation is, you spend, more than likely, the vast amount of your daily time in a given day, from sunup to sundown, you spend, if you're doing a good job and you're a good student of what you're doing, you're spending most of your time thinking about that business or thinking about your responsibility. You want to do a good job, you invest your time in that. So, your vocabulary, your thought processes, the time, the thinking time is in that, so that's what you give your time to. Now, somebody wouldn't say to you, for example, let's say that you happen to be a carpenter. Somebody didn't say, well, you're materialistic because all you think about is lumber and nails. No, that's not true. Or somebody else is a doctor. Well, the only thing you think about is medicine. No. Well, then what about the fellow who's in the financial business? And maybe that's his business. Maybe that's his total business. He's got to think about money. He's got to keep up with figures. He must be able to read the market, what's happening. He's got to keep up, or she's got to keep up with what's going on. That doesn't mean that they're worldly. It doesn't mean that's the only thing they think about. All of us, whatever our vocation is, Jesus Christ ought to saturate that, saturate our vocabulary, saturate our time. He ought to be in the middle of everything we've got going on, so that everything we do in our business is interpreted through the principles of Jesus Christ, who's living within us. But here's a person, the gift of giving, for example. Because they have that gift and feel so responsible for large sums of money or for small sums, they want to be careful about where it goes, how it is being used. They want to be able to give a good report to God for how they did it. So, you see, it may appear that they are temporal-minded when that's not it at all. They just feel responsible to God for the sums of money He has placed at their disposal, and so they are naturally oriented in that direction. Now, God put the gift of giving in the fellowship in order that the needs of the fellowship may be met in the area of finances as well as others. So don't accuse someone because they handle money or large sums of money or have to think about lots of money. Lots of times, the truth is, friend, a lot more people in this world would like to spend a lot more time thinking about a lot more money if they had the privilege. Amen? Yeah, let's be honest. They would. They just don't have the privilege of doing that. So don't you as a believer look at somebody else and say, well, all they think about is money. All right, secondly, the desire to increase the effectiveness of a ministry by his gift may appear as an attempt to control the work of the person. Now watch this very carefully, friend. Don't ever forget what I'm about to tell you. The person with the gift of giving would never do this. You listening? Person with the gift of giving would never do this. There are people in churches, let me say, and I want to say publicly, and I how very, very grateful to God I am. I've been pastor of this church for 11 years, and nobody has ever come to me in the 11 years that I've been a pastor to offer me anything with a hook in it. Not a one. And I'm grateful to God. Because there are many pastors that have to put up with that. Going into churches where deacons have control the situation, and you've got two or three wealthy deacons, and they think because they give so much money, they have the right to control. I want to tell you, my friend, according to this book, the only person that has the right to control a church is the Holy Spirit of the living God. And the person with the gift of giving will never give you anything with a hook in it. Listen, here's the difference. When a person gives you something and says, now, I want to make this contribution to the ministry, but here's what I expect. They have not given you a gift. What they have given you, what they have done is they have attempted to buy or manipulate authority and power, and that's never a gift. And I'm sure that many pastors out there who will hear this message are grieved and burdened in their heart because they're pastors of churches where men have tried to buy them off, put a hook in what they offered to give. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, nothing is worth selling your conscience for. Nothing is worth selling your conscience for. It's best not to have anything that is given with a hook, but always freely. The person with the gift of giving, they don't give. You see, they don't manipulate. They just give. They don't want anything in return. They just want the privilege of giving more. They don't want control and domination. And I've watched some people give small sums of money and large sums of money. And I'll tell you, I don't know when I was so blessed personally, and God knew that I needed, He knew that I needed the blessing. We were raising the money for the, trusting the Lord for the property. It cost us almost $3 million. A little lad came in here and gave me 5 pennies in a little envelope, and he came after the service and big old, big eyes and big smile. He said, looked at me, he says, Dr. Stanley, he says, this is my gift for the, he could hardly pronounce Cadillac property, for the property. And so I wanted to let him know that I appreciate him. So I took the envelope and opened it up and had 5 copper pennies. And boy, I smiled and he smiled. And you'd have thought it was $10 million to him. And he knew that I was just blessed by it. And I was greatly blessed. And I mean, you know, his mother was standing there and he just got all excited. That afternoon, somebody came into my study. Humble spirit, gentle spirit, sweet spirit. Not anything, just handed me an envelope and said, Lee, this is what God wants me to do. And I won't even tell you how many zeros are behind that figure. But so many that I had to get on my knees and just thank God again and again and again for just reaffirming it. But the sweet, gentle, quiet, unpretentious way that just said, we believe this is what God wants us to do. That's it. You see, that's the way the gift of giving gives. Humbly. No hooks. No nothing. Just giving. And you see, God will bless that person, multiplied hundreds and thousands of times. And let me tell you something, my friend. You may not have but $10 to give in a situation. You give it as the gift of giving gives. God's going to multiply that. He's going to because He's a loving God. Listen, He wants us to know His principles. Look in the next one, if you will. The attempt to encourage others to give may appear to be putting pressure on people who have less to give. Now, what their motive? Listen, that's the way they're misunderstood. Their motivation is they got the picture. They want to see this thing accomplished. They want to give, and they want you to get in on the picture and the work and the blessing. It's not that they intend to put pressure on you. They don't want you to miss the blessing because the personal gift of giving knows the blessing of giving. And so they encourage, not pressure. Then if you'll notice number 4, the lack of response to pressure appeals may appear as a lack of generosity. Listen, the personal gift of giving, you put pressure on them. What do? They just close up on you. You say, well, they're tight. They're stingy. They won't give. No. When the pressure gets off, they open up. It's not that they're not generous and selfish. It is rather that the idea of putting pressure on a person who's going to make that determination by what God says and not by some high-pressured salesman, if they're listening to God, they don't need the pressure. So when the pressure comes, listen, a person with the gift of giving is a wise steward, very cautious, careful, feeling responsible for it. So when you put pressure on them, what that does, that urges them, they see that urging them for a quick response, and a person the gift of giving is not going to do it, so they back off. And so sometimes they're misunderstood, but they're wisely doing what God wants them to do. And the last one, the personal frugality by which that person may live may appear to friends and relatives as selfishness and not meeting their wants. Now listen, here's what you have to remember. If you have the gift of giving, everybody in your family more than likely doesn't have that gift. So as it comes your way, you want to give it to this one and give it to that one and give it to the other. And here's a fellow, for example, says, Dad, you giving away all this money? What about me a new car? What about that? And this gal says, you giving it all away? I'd like to have a new suit. Or mom says, what about so-and-so? You see, the person with the gift of giving has to be careful unless they overlook, for example, the needs of those closest to them, or even if you notice here, personal frugality by which he may live may appear to friends and relatives as selfishness in not wanting to meet their wants, wants of their friends, wants of their family, or the fact that they don't meet their own wants. Now listen, I think it is very healthy to want some things without having it. You know, it's just so nice to want something, but don't run out and get it all of a sudden. In other words, I'll give you a little example. I wanted a camera on one occasion, and I'd been saving up my money to buy that camera, and my wife and my mother discovered I wanted it, and I found out they were going to go out and buy it, and I said, no, please don't do that. If you go buy, it's going to run it for me. It's not that I want it now. I like to think about it and work and save a little bit and figure out how I'm going to get the best deal and all that goes with it. But if you give it to me, it's going to ruin the whole thing. Now, a person the gift of giving, listen, they plan ahead. That doesn't happen to be my gift. I'd take it. The person the gift of giving, they're thinking, visualizing, planning. See, they don't want somebody to rush up and do everything for them all of a sudden. Now, if somebody does it wisely over the right period of time, that's one thing. But you see, that person can be misunderstood because of their frugality and because of their thoughtfulness and because they like to plan ahead before they make any financial decisions on these things. Now listen, a person with the gift of giving has a tremendous opportunity to be a blessing to God and the multitudes of the people. Likewise, that person has a tremendous opportunity of motivating the rest of us who don't happen to have that gift. Motivating us, and listen, and encouraging us in the work that God's called us to do. Because you see, the giver is an encourager when it comes to finances. God's going to supply that. Let's trust the Lord to do that. Let's believe God for that. And so the person of gift of giving who is an encourager, walking in the Spirit, God can use them mightily. Now listen, two little lists I want to give you as we do each week. How a person with the gift of giving acts when they're carnal and how they act when they're spiritual. How does a person with the gift of giving act when they are spiritual? Two lists of words, seven in each list. Number one, that person is thrifty. We've explained that. Secondly, they are resourceful. That is, if a need comes up, they will figure out how to work that thing out. They're thrifty in their finances. They're resourceful. Thirdly, they're contented. That is, they're not contented based on their finances, because you see, many people who have multitudes, who have vast hordes of wealth, are terribly discontent because they're scared that they're going to lose it. Person with the gift of giving can't wait to give it. Number four, punctuality. Person with the gift of giving recognizes how very important it is that when an opportunity comes, strike while the iron is hot. So they're punctual. Number four, tolerance. They can give and take in some areas that maybe some other people have a difficult time in doing. Cautious, that is, they don't rush in to give a large sum of money in a situation. Think through it, visualize it, look, get the facts. And then number seven, gratefulness. A person with the gift of giving, recognizing they're merely the hub around which God is sending the finances, they recognize God's goodness and love and mercy to them. And then on the other side, when that person who can be so wonderfully used of God gets out of fellowship, living disobediently in the flesh, carnal as they can be, listen, their thriftiness turns into extravagance. Man, they spend money left and right on foolish things. Second, instead of being resourceful, they become wasteful, very wasteful. Well, since there's so much here, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to scrimp and save. So, you know, easy come, easy go. And I want to tell you, my friend, when God sees you with that attitude, it'll be easier go than come. All right, contentment. Instead of being contented, they get covetous. You ask a man who's walking in the flesh, living disobedient to God, how much is enough? A little bit more. That's what they always say, just a little bit more. A personal gift of giving says, I have enough. Have the Lord. And so you have to watch that. All right, instead of being punctual, tardiness. Opportunities go by, which is costly. Instead of tolerance, prejudice. Cut out this group, or this situation, or that situation. Cautiousness. Instead of cautiousness, rashness. Making decisions that are costly and expensive, without vision, without forethought, without planning. And instead of gratefulness, unthankfulness. And listen, if a person is extravagant and wasteful and covetous, they're not going to be thankful. What happens is their mind, listen, they refocus from God. They refocus from their father to their finances. Whenever you get that focus out of balance, you've got a problem. Now, my friend, a person with that gift has a beautiful opportunity. And somebody said, those who can see the invisible, hear the inaudible, think the unthinkable, can do what? Can do the impossible. A person with a gift of giving, is they're able to visualize what God can do. Hear God giving them direction and guidance for the stewardship of what He's placed at their disposal. It is no limit to what God can do through one walking in the Spirit who has access to vast sums. But let me just say one last thing in closing. The truth is that all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior have access to vast sums. We are the sons and daughters of the living God who has all the resources of all that we'll ever need. And if we're willing to practice the principles God will do in our lives, much of what He'll do in the life of the person who has the gift of giving. In fact, listen, He'll do everything for us who do not have that gift as He will for those who do have that gift. The only difference is we're motivated differently. Would you stand quietly? Now, Father, we thank You for giving to us so clearly in Thy Word the principles that make it possible for us to live happily, joyfully, peacefully, contentedly, and even when there are needs and wants and struggles and difficulties and heartaches and burdens and sorrows and fears and anxieties, we know that we never have to take a step alone. For You've taught us in the Word to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And we know, Lord, that if there is want, You're trying to say something to us, maybe to redirect our lives, teach us something we need to know, change some aspect of our life. So we come this morning thanking You for the gift of giving and pray that You'll bless everyone in our fellowship and all those who will hear and those who will watch, that You will motivate them and stir them to new heights of receiving and giving, looking for new avenues by which they can pour the wealth that You're pouring through them into those ministries that are preaching and teaching the Word of God and building up the saints. Father, teach us all how to be receivers, great receivers, how to be greater givers indeed, so that all that You want to accomplish, You'll find the freedom in us to do it. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.